lake, so we can't view it. Is that right? In the Lake Baptist Church. The true Baptist in the lake. Amen. Because you got to come out of the lake. Amen. At least you're not under the lake. Then it would be called something else, I am sure. All right, well, it's a great joy to be here with you this morning. It's good to see smiling faces in church. Amen. I'd rather be in church than anywhere else. I love church. I've made church become my life. And God has just blessed in many ways and helped me through my times and troubles and trials and tribulations, as we all have. Amen. But the Lord has seen us through. And let me encourage you to please stop by our table that we have on the right-hand side as you are leaving. And on our table, we have some items back there that you've just got to have. You've just got to have. And the number one thing you got to have is our prayer card. Amen. You got to have a prayer card. You can't tell one missionary from another without a prayer card. Amen. But can I tell you something about prayer cards? Prayer cards are priceless. They're worth more than any baseball card or football trading card out there, because missionary prayer cards affect lives for all eternity. Amen. So pick some of those up and pray for these missionaries that come through your church. Pray for the Holtzclaw family. We put them wherever you need to go. The guys, you know, maybe you need to put it on the refrigerator, because that's where you go a lot. Ladies, maybe you need to put it on the mirror. I don't know. I don't know why either. But there was one family that I came across, and this dad brought his two girls up and said, "Hey, girls, tell Brother Holtzclaw where you put the missionary prayer cards." And the both of them responded, "We put our prayer cards around our TV." And before they can play a video or play a video game, they have to pray for a missionary. I like that. Amen. But pray for your missionaries, and please pray for the Holtzclaw family. And on the card, it has our website and such, so you can see where we are, where we're going. On our table, we have a little tablet there to sign up. If you give us your email, we'll send you a nice quarterly newsletter of where we are and where we're going and what's up and coming of our ministry. Also on the table, if you enjoyed the music, you can take the Holtzclaws home with you. How about that? Now, we will eat you out of house and home, but we have CDs on the back table that you can take good Christian music. It's hard to find good Christian music, is it not? But I know where there's 5 good CDs at that you can listen to some good music sitting on the back table. So come stop by, say hello, and if you have any questions about our ministry of church planting and church restoration. We did help start the church in Staten Island this past year. But this year, we're working on helping to plant a church right here in Ohio. The Youngstown Baptist Church is starting up this year in September into October. It's a brand new church plant. And Pastor even knows one of the folks that had started, Brother Larry Clayton. Maybe you know who Brother Larry Clayton is. Years ago, he started a church called the Youngstown Baptist Church in Youngstown, Ohio. Through the years, things had happened. Several pastors later, that church has now gone contemporary. That church has dropped the Baptist name, even dropped the Youngstown name. And so it's all open. Well, that church is kind of something completely different now. But through Brother Clayton, Pastor Grimaldi out of Akron, Ohio, a young preacher from his church, and Brother Williams, they're starting a brand new church called the Youngstown Baptist Church, amen, bringing the name back to Youngstown. Youngstown needs 45,000 people in Youngstown, and they need a gospel-preaching church just like this one. So we're going to be there helping, knocking on doors, telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. We need your prayers. We need some financial support. We are missionaries. We ask nothing of the church planters. We ask nothing from the pastors that we go to. We offer everything on a missionary basis. We knock on doors. We provide music. I'm a jack of all trades. I can do a lot of things. I've been in ministry for over 25 years. You can critique the preaching later, just not today. All right? But you'll see as God has led in our life. And if you miss Sunday school, we gave a presentation. Just chat with someone from Sunday school. They can share our true burden with you. We have a heart for preachers. We really do. It's hard out there. Today isn't like it was yesterday. These things shall wax worse and worse, and they are waxing worse and worse. So we need to go with tears. We need to go with compassion and a burden, and telling people about Jesus. and starting new churches for the Lord Jesus Christ. And this morning, I want to encourage you and be a blessing to you this morning and remind you this morning, as the song said, and gone. He is gone from that tomb, but he lives forevermore. And this morning, I want to challenge you on this thought: my God endureth forever. Amen? Open your Bibles, if you have them, to Psalm chapter number 9. Psalm chapter number 9. Don't know why I turned away. I got this lapel mic. It goes with me everywhere I go. I've heard preachers get caught in trouble with these lapel mics. They forget to turn them off. Real famous preacher, a friend of mine, who's out in Texas, and he was preaching to a white guy named Johnny Pope. I don't know if you ever heard of Brother Johnny Pope, and pastor probably has heard of Johnny Pope, a very charismatic preacher. And he had preached up a storm and walked off the platform to the side, and as soon as he got in the back room there, he looked down and says, "Uh-oh. Man, my fly's been down the whole service." And that went over the whole sound speakers, and everybody heard it. And as soon as he walked out, everybody was laughing. He said, "What are you laughing at?" "We can hear you." So my wife does what she can to tell me, "Turn that thing off." Last thing we needed is to carry it over to the camper, because we're just right behind here in the camper, and hear her critique everything that I said wrong. And I sit there and say, "Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am." Then you think less of me. Then I don't want that to happen. "Yes, ma'am, I'll stop." Okay, so we'll make sure we're turned off. I like having fun, amen? And I do like to roam around a little bit, so if you're in the first three pews, that's the spit zone, so just be careful. Hope you get your hanky out. Not so much for tears, but for stuff that likes to fly. I'm going to probably confine myself to the platform this morning, but I do like to walk. Psalm chapter number 9, verse number 1. Are you with me? Say amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Here, the Psalm of David, he says, "I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works." That's great, David. Praise the Lord. We ought to do that. David says, verse 2, "I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high." When you say, "Well, I can't sing, Brother Holtzclaw." Well, you can rejoice, and you can make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Amen. Are you lands? Verse 3, "When mine enemies are turned back," praise the Lord for the enemies being turned back, "they shall fall and perish at thy presence. For thou hast maintained my right and my cause," and God will maintain your right and your cause. "Thou sattest in the throne judging right," and God always judges right. "Thou hast rebuked the heathen, thou hast destroyed the wicked, thou hast put out their name forever and ever. O thou enemy, destructions are come to a perpetual end, and thou hast destroyed cities, their memorial is perished with them. But the Lord," you with me? "But the Lord shall endure," for how long? "Forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment." Let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? "For my God endureth forever." Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We praise you this morning. Thank you, dear Lord, for the sunshine. Thank you, Lord, for the rain. And thank you, Lord, for air conditioning. And thank you, Lord, for leading us together here in church. And dear Lord, to sing together wonderful hymns of the faith. And dear Lord, rejoice together in knowing that we do serve a risen Savior. And Lord, help me as I challenge from my heart and the scriptures. And dear Lord, to be a blessing. In order to share the love of Jesus and the good news that you did come and did die for our sins. And Lord, help us if there's a troubled heart today, that we will be able to get a foundation and regroup in the Lord and move on in strength. And Lord, if there be one here that's not saved, dear Lord, that has not accepted you into their heart and life, may today be their day. And dear Lord, we pray that they'll open up their heart. But Lord, I pray that you just guide us, dear Lord, today and make us stronger and more faith in you, dear Lord. We love you, we praise you, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. A Psalm of David. I love the Psalms. You like the Psalms? Amen. David just put it out there. I mean, he wrote it in some poetic form as he was writing it in his language. And now we have it, and we can see the flowery speech that he gives in these Psalms. And he gives songs of praise and songs of exhortation, but also psalms of sorrow he gives. Songs of prayer to the Lord. "Lord, help! How many are the enemy that compassed about me? But Lord, thou art my shield and my buckler. Amen. And so I love the Psalms. I love the Psalms. And here David is praising the Lord in the Psalms. And in his praise unto the Lord here in Psalm chapter number 9, he ends by rejoicing that the Lord shall endure forever. You know, there are a lot of things in this world that we kind of think that will last forever. Things that will always be and always be around. Like the rotary dial telephone. Does anybody even have a rotary dial telephone anymore? And we have a couple. How about the cranky phones? How about records? How many people thought records will always be around? They're still around. How many still got records? Who does not know what a record is? It's a large CD. Okay, just get a bit mental. Large CD. But things will always be around. How about a car? How about certain cars that will always be popular? How about this car called the DeLorean that they came out years ago with in a movie that they showed made of stainless steel that would always be around? Well, the frame is still there, but the motor's busted and the tires have worn off and everything else has perished. Things don't last forever. Things don't last forever. That's why we have dumps, amen, city dumps. We carry all of our junk and stuff too. But there is one that lasts forever. And he is the Lord God. He endureth forever. And here I want to just be an encouragement to you on my God endureth forever. Are you still in Psalms? Go back to Psalm 90 in verse 2. Psalm 90 in verse 2. In Psalm 90 verse 2, the Bible here says, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Before everything, before the flowers, before the tree, before there was dirt, there was God. That's something to kind of think about. Turn the page a little bit to Psalm 102. Psalm 102. In Psalm 102, we find here in verse number 12, the Bible says, but thou, O Lord, shalt endure forever, and thy remembrance unto how many generations? All generations. God will always be. Psalm 102, verse 24. I said, O my God, take me not away in the midst of my days. Thy years are throughout all generations. And again, referencing that he endureth forever. Verse 25, of old thou hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, the earth shall perish, the heavens shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment, and as a vesture thou shalt change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. Amen? I like how he writes this. How many of you got some old clothes around the house? How many wives wish their husbands would throw those old clothes away? How many wives wish your husbands would get out of those old clothes and stop wearing them? Well, that's what he's saying. Look, our clothes grow old. We got to change them. All these things change. But the Lord, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Lord, and thou, you know, those his years shall have no end. When I talk about the Lord, please understand, I'm also talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. For the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, they are one. They are one. Don't turn there, but in Hebrews 13, verse 8, it says this, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus has always been. Before the foundation of the world, my friend, Jesus has always been. And through the doctrine of foreknowledge, my friend, could see through time. He's not bound by time, nor by place. And through time, my friend, he saw me as an 11-year-old boy in my front yard, giving my heart to him. And my friend, he is the same. His promises are true and rich and new every day. Well, I want to give you some traits. I think it's just five, maybe it's six here. I got to turn the page. I can't remember. I'll get there in a minute. But I want to give you six traits, six characteristics of God that endureth forever. The first one I want to show you is God's mercy endureth forever. Please turn over in Psalms again to Psalm 136. Psalm 136. We're going to read this whole chapter together. How about that? All 26 verses. But you'll like it. I kind of shortened it down a little bit. Psalm 136 and verse 1. This passage of scripture is led by a music director. And then those around him, the congregation, are all singing this. The director sings the first part. And then the congregation repeats the second part. You'll see as we get into it. The director says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good." And the congregation responds with, "For his mercy endureth forever." "Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever." "Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever." "To him who alone doth great wonders, to him that by wisdom made the heavens, to him that stretched out the earth above the waters, to him that made great lights, the sun to rule by day, the moon and the stars to rule by night, to him that smote Egypt in their firstborn and brought out Israel from among them." You get the idea, for his mercy endureth forever, okay? So he's just kind of building this up with a strong hand and with a stretched out arm. "To him which divided the Red Sea into parts and made Israel to pass through the midst of it, but overthrow Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea. To him which led his people through the wilderness. To him which smote great kings and slew famous kings, Sihon of the Amorites and Og the king of Bashan, and gave their land for an heritage, even an heritage unto Israel, his servant." Now I like this. Will you join me now? Can I do the first part and you do the second part now? "For his mercy endureth forever." Can you say that? Say it with me. Ready? 1, 2, 3. "For his mercy endureth forever." Oh, that sounds sweet right there. Verse 23. "Who remembered us," that's you and me, "he remembered us in our low estate, for his mercy endureth forever, and hath redeemed us from our enemies, for his endureth forever, who giveth food to all flesh, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever." Now, when God says something one time, he definitely wants you to get it. When God says it two times, I think he really wants you to get it. When God says it 26 times, plus other passages of Scripture, I think God wants us to know that his mercy endureth forever. Now, to give you an idea of what mercy means, we have to look at a counter word, the word grace. Grace and mercy. Grace means receiving something that I do not deserve. Now, I'd go down the line at the family picnic, and here would be Grandma dishing out her nanner pudding. Now, do you northern folks know what nanner pudding is? Banana pudding. Okay, nanner. Puts that vanilla wafers on. Oh, yeah. Amen. Nanner pudding. And I go through the line, and I say, "Grandma, can I have some of your good nanner pudding?" And she wouldn't just give me a little spoonful. She wouldn't give the standard tablespoonful. She'd grab one of those big ladles and... Would you not say Grandma was gracious to me and giving me something that I do not deserve? And that's what grace means. Grace means receiving that which I do not deserve, giving grace. But the other word, mercy, means not getting what I do deserve. Let me explain. I was supposed to clean the garage up. I forgot. I played basketball instead. Dad came home and said, "It's up and comings time. The Board of Education to the seat of knowledge time." Get what I'm saying? Okay. And I would cry, "Dad, have mercy on me. Have mercy." What I'm saying, Dad, I deserve to get it because I know that I didn't do what you told me to do, and I deserve to get every bit that I get. But please be merciful and not get me as much. Okay? You know, in the Christian life, God was gracious to all men by sending His Son, the Lord Jesus, to come and to die for us, to take my place. I'm guilty. I'm a sinner. And as a sinner, I stand before God guilty, and the judgment for my sinfulness is separation from Him, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen? And I deserve, and if I fall short of God's glory, then I cannot be.